It's time to look to the future, look to technology, and I'm joined by Fezzy Turkalp, who is the host of the Gadget Detective Podcast. What is the Gadget Detective Podcast, then?
Oh, it's basically all my output in one place. So if you're at all interested in what I've got to say about tech, you can just pick it up anywhere you get your podcast. So Apple Music, Amazon Music, even on your Amazon Echo device, if you just ask it to play the Gadget Detective Podcast, it will do so.
Brilliant. Okay, look, what are the big pieces of technology we should be looking out for this year?
Well, it's quite interesting. We're seeing several trends. I mean, we've seen steps forward with artificial intelligence, and that will continue. So OpenAI came up with something called ChatGPT, which is a artificial intelligence program which is freely available. You can actually log on, get a free account and try it out for yourself. And this is one of the closest steps we have to something that can pass the Turing test. So Turing was a famous computer scientist who famously exactly cracked the Enigma code. And one definition that he gave us of machine intelligence is that if you can converse with a machine and not know you're conversing with a machine and think it's human, then the machine is intelligent. And I wouldn't say we're quite there yet, but this ChatGPT program from OpenAI, it comes remarkably close to that, and to the point where it now becomes a useful tool. So I think
useful in what way?
Well, for example, it's quite a good writer. It can not only write poems and stories, but it can. I asked it to review a product for me the other day, and it did not a bad job. It made some fundamental mistakes. It's not perfect. But it wrote well, it wrote fluidly, it wrote in a human style, and convincingly, even when it was wrong, it wrote with authority, which was, I thought, was fascinating. So,
can I tell you something? I don't believe in artificial intelligence. And I think I may have told you this before, and I'll tell you the reason. I set up a YouTube channel, and I got done for fraudulent traffic, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the reason. So I set up the YouTube channel and got 2.5 million views a week. Right. And that trip to cable at YouTube. Right. And basically, I will tell you what happened at YouTube. But effectively, what YouTube was incapable of understanding was the following. Because it was Brexit and somebody like me was topical and I had a background, that's why I'd gone from zero to 2.5 million views. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I've got an internal document within Google that admitted that they didn't have a clue what was going on, right? Mm-hmm. They backed down. They said, oh, we're changing the security features. But fundamentally, I will tell you the problem with AI. It's just a big load of maths. It's the maths geeks thinking that maths solves everything. You go on Google now and ask them, what is the difference between Wahhabi and Wasabi? And it doesn't know that one's a type of Muslim and the other's a type of mustard.
Yeah.
That's no intelligence.
So the thing is, I don't think you should look at where it is today. I think you should look at the direction of travel.
But how many databases does it take? I mean, the thing is, all these databases do is just gather knowledge. Intelligence is an ability to analyse it. It doesn't have it.
But I beg to differ. And it's a bit like saying, the motor car's got no future because it's got a crank on it and someone has to run in front of it with a flag waving it. That was the start of that journey. And,
it's more similar to saying a motor car's fundamental problem is it doesn't drive, but we are saying to people it does. Artificial intelligence is not intelligent in any means. My concern, look, we can debate this, and I really want to, Fezzy, because I've got a lot of respect for you. You're a good guy. But my problem here is that people are fundamentally misunderstanding. A big pile of mathematics is being presented as something that is actually analytical, thoughtful, and it's not.
Yeah, I think I differ, because it's not. So AI doesn't really work by saying, if this happens, do this, and if that happens, do this and that. That's not AI. You can't hard program to an AI program.
Yeah, if I was to ask an AI program now, what's the difference between a poo and my face, it wouldn't know.
Well, I hope it would. But the way that this works is, we don't, for example, if you want an AI program to be able to recognize everything that is a picture of a dog, and everything that is not a picture of a dog, that's really difficult. If you start trying to make rules for it by saying, well, a dog has four legs and a dog is this size.
Can I tell you how to get somebody banned from Instagram? Right, this genuinely works. This genuinely works. This took me a week of my life to work this out as to how friends of mine were getting banned from Instagram all the time. Instagram relies on an AI monitoring system. If you, and by the way, don't try this, you shouldn't, but I guarantee you it will work. If you go onto anyone's Instagram account and you take a picture of them from it, then you superimpose part of the picture onto pornographic content, right? Then you post it on 10,000 Instagram accounts, complain about all the Instagram accounts by bot. Then the bot, the AI system, believes the totality of the picture is pornographic, and you can complain about the legitimate picture on the genuine Instagram account, and Instagram will ban you for pornographic content.
Right.
Boom.
So that's none of that is an argument that says that AI isn't developing and isn't developing quickly, and we shouldn't we shouldn't be having a discussion about what the risks of AI are and what sort of AI we want in the future. Because if we take your view and say, well, it's all rubbish, the problem with that is we then don't have the discussion about how it could develop and what we want from it and what we don't want from it.
I don't think it's so much that. And I don't want to be disrespectful, because I know that you kind
Not
of...
Not at all.
I've got a lot of time for this and whatever. My point is, I just genuinely believe that we there's a lot of marketing about this, right? You know, it's like the Toyota Prius. You know, it's not a green technology, right? It's just a bit better than a petrol car, right? You know, at the end of the day, what we are literally doing is persuading ourselves that a thing that is not intelligent is intelligent. It's just bonkers.
Let me tell you something. There's something in human beings that likes to define intelligence in such a way as to exclude the other.
That's true.
And I'll give you an example of that. People used to say, when they were writing programs and said, well, if it can learn to play chess, then it will be intelligent. So they taught computers to play chess. Then they said, but if it can beat a person, then it's intelligent. And so it went on and it developed and it started beating human players. And they said, if it can beat a grandmaster, then it is intelligent. So it beat a grandmaster, and what did they say? Chess isn't
always remember something. The program that beats the grandmaster is not strategic. It is merely analysing previous play of the games and sticking it in a database. That's not intelligent.
Right. If you were to then say
to that program, how about we combine playing chess with cricket, the thing would do nothing.
Yeah, that's a good point. But let me just take you a step further. So the way that a chess program works is it brute forces it from any given position on the board.
Yeah.
It calculates every possible outcome because it can. There aren't that many. It's not beyond the computer
right.
to do it. But if you look at, say, the Chinese board game of Go, that way of working doesn't work for a computer, because it would need the age of the universe to calculate every possible sequence of moves from any given position. So now you've got Go AI programs that can beat world-class players. And the way it does it is it doesn't brute force it. It intuits it in a very similar way to a human being. And that's the difference. Look, it's not perfect, and there's lots of things that have yet to improve. I agree with you. One of the things that will be a real challenge for AIs is what they call general intelligence. So something that can have a discussion about philosophy and then work out a recipe and then cure cancer. You know, something that can do a wide range of things, like a human being.
Sorry to keep pushing this, but isn't the danger, and my example with YouTube, believe me, I spoke to these guys at Google, maths geeks, idiots, no idea. The reality is, they were very much the Carol Burke computer says no. They were convinced that their system knew more than a real human. And that's because they're sad individuals. And we can't allow those sad individuals to rule the world.
And your criticism is of the humans in that situation.
No, my criticism, I lost $7,000. And I know this is a hobby horse thing. I lost $7,000 off an... Well, I was obviously in the right, and they sat there going, computer says no. You know, the artificial intelligence that said I was a fraudster wasn't intelligent, and I wasn't a fraudster.
So the difficulty there is that they put too much faith in that computer system.
Well, that's
a danger. But that's a human failing, right? So actually, Every system, AI or human, has its limitations. And when we utilise it, we should know its strengths, play to its strengths.
But it returns to the central point. The reason that they were idiotic about this, if we've deluded ourselves into believing artificial intelligence exists, it's either a bunch of databases or it's intelligent. You can't have the two.
Yeah, well, AI is a work in progress, and it learns from huge amounts of data. So there are now AI programs that can diagnose cancers better than top cancer specialists because they have seen hundreds of millions of images of things that were cancer and things that were not. And once it detected the cancer with a better level of accuracy than a human being, it can then create a bespoke treatment plan for that individual patient in a way that a human being could not easily do. And it's also a question of the fact that, you know, certain things, we don't just have the human resources, the manpower to do certain things. So, for example, moderation of platforms like Twitter and Facebook and so forth. At the moment, we let people put what the hell they like up, and then we wait for someone to complain about it and bring it down. And the reason for that is it's difficult. We've got AI that can kind of spot child pornography, but sometimes it gets it wrong and takes down great works of art and all of this sort of thing.
The AI moderation on Facebook, I think most people would say legitimately the Rohingya genocide was the first social media genocide. There was a huge amount of material in Myanmar suggesting that Muslims in Myanmar, Burma, were causing terrorism and all that sort of thing. You know, the AI in Facebook not only failed to take any action against the people spreading this fake news, there was a genocide as a result of it. And what we are telling ourselves, what we're deluding ourselves into believing, AI moderation's great. There was a genocide as a result of the failures of this technology because it's not intelligent.
Yeah. I think the point I'd leave you with on this is that if you look at human intelligence, we are, you might argue about this, but in general terms, we are about as smart as a species as we were 1,000 years ago and 10,000 years ago and 100,000 years ago. But computer technology is improving and AI is improving at such a rate that you can see that even though our intelligence may be up here and theirs may be down there, that there is a curve and it will cross that line before too long. You know, in terms of tens of years or hundreds of years, it won't take hundreds of years, I think. So that but we really have to be ready for that, because if we get it wrong, the implementation of an AI that we haven't correctly understood the dangers of could be an existential threat to us.
As you know, I'd rebrand it not artificial intelligence, bunch of math geeks with some mathematic databases, but which is disparaging. But look, for years and years and years, we've been absolutely desperate to nail nuclear fusion. I feel a bit depressed about this. There's been a breakthrough. Now, they've been saying that for 50 years. Is this breakthrough serious? What is it?
It is. So nuclear fusion, probably just worth explaining what that is. So at the moment we have nuclear power, but that's nuclear fission. It's where we break atoms up and it releases energy when we do it. Nuclear fusion is the reverse, in that when you form certain atoms, you can actually cause the release of energy. The difference being that if you get it to work, the byproducts of fusion are clean, whereas the byproducts of fission reactions can be devastating for hundreds of millions of years. The breakthrough that took place earlier in December, I think it was the 8th of December it was announced, was that for the first time, it wasn't the first fusion reaction, but it was the first fusion reaction where less energy was used to initiate the reaction than was gained from the reaction. In other words, we made an energy profit for the first time. So before, we were able to create fusion for short periods of time, but it wasn't useful because it was costing us more money, more energy, if you like, to start the reaction than it yielded. So that's really important. There are British companies working on this as well, and we're going to see announcements, I think, in this year now, from all over the world, people that are replicating it and improving upon it. That doesn't mean we've got fusion reactors yet, but it does mean that we have a proof of concept and it will be with us. And it's going to turn the world upside down.
Could not agree more.
Well, because look at Russia. How is Russia powerful? Fossil fuels. How is Saudi Arabia powerful? Fossil fuels. Suddenly, if those fossil fuels are rendered redundant, then there's literally a new world order.
I strongly believe that our reliance on fossil fuels needs to end. Now, I believe it will end, but I believe that we've got to invest in these technologies. And I think we'll get there. You know, we've gone so far with nuclear energy. I have to say, when I worked in Parliament, I worked for the good people of Morecambe, where there's the Heysham, two Heysham nuclear power stations. And, you know, these are absolutely fabulous pieces of technology, and they're quite old. The new opportunities here are huge, almost unlimited free energy.
Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, everything has its potentially downside, and there are things that we won't foresee.
Yeah.
But it looks like a good step towards nuclear fusion. You're right, they've been working on fusion since at least the 1950s.
Yes.
But there has been progress, and there have been false dawns, and it's important to say that whilst this is an important step, it doesn't mean fusion reactors are right round the corner. But
it's worth pointing out, there are some people who believe that fusion will never be viable. I'm not one of them, but there are people who say, oh, well, they've been trying it for 50 years, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, 50 years in terms of, you know, us as a species is nothing. Frankly, it's a bat of an eye. And if we've made any progress at all in 50 years, then good for us. And, the research may take us in quite a different direction.
Yes.
And we may come up with discoveries and technologies that we weren't even looking for. So that's, you know, it's an exploration, just like we explore space. Our exploration of our understanding of science and melding that science into a usable technology is an amazing thing.
And this is one thing, Fevzi.
Humans are amazing.
This is one thing, Fevzi, we can definitely agree on. We could not be creating this science without the power of the databases that are so-called AI, because that has built so much. And, you know, somebody told me that sort of 50% of the scientific discoveries we've ever made have happened in the past 10, 15 years. And I can believe that, because things are building on and building on top of each other.
You know, it's quite interesting, because AIs have come up with a number of inventions, and you know that inventions can be patented.
Yes.
But when the scientists who operated the AIs tried to patent those inventions in the names of the AI as the inventor, they were told that only humans can be inventors, only humans can own inventions and intellectual property, which is quite interesting, because it's sort of tantamount to... imagine what used to happen with slavery. You know, slaves were property, and property could not own property. And at some point, if AI, and I know this will rankle you, but if at some point AI...
I don't love comparing the slave trade with algorithm, abusing an algorithm. I see where you're going. I'm not going to be churlish.
Because at some point, if those AI, you know, if we stop using the word artificial, hold on, if we stop using
just
the word
call it
artificial,
big database, it's much better. Big
it's
database
so much,
analytics.
It's not,
no, we get back to the original.
It's more a big database.
Artificial intelligence is just a marketing term. Big database being searched. That's all it is. It's not artificial intelligence. Big database. If I make something up now, it doesn't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Fevzi Turkalp, really interesting. And I really appreciate you talking about this, because,
you know,
I think it is an interesting subject. You've heard what I've had to say. I personally believe it's a big database, load of geeks, no idea, sad individuals, math class, taking charge of things. It's pathetic.